This afternoon we open the Word of God and we read two passages from the New Testament. First we read from the Gospel of John. We read John 5 from verse 1 to verse 23. We read this in connection with the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." That's the fourth commandment. In connection with that, we read from John 5, from verse 1. "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take up your bed and walk.' And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed.' But he answered them, 'The man who healed me, that man said to me, "Take up your bed and walk."' They asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, "Take up your bed and walk"?' Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you.' The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father is working until now, and I am working.'" We now go to Luke chapter 23. We read Luke 23 starting at verse 50. Luke 23 from verse 50. "Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment." So far the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord bless it unto our hearts. This afternoon I preach to you the gospel as we confess it in Lord's Day 38 of the Catechism. Lord's Day 38 on page 554 of the Book of Praise. What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me through the Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. So far our reading from the Confession of the Church. We now listen to the preaching of the Gospel, and afterwards we sing Psalm 126. Psalm 126 after the sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, 35 years ago, in 1982, the Supreme Court of Canada upheld the Lord's Day Act. The Supreme Court said that the Lord's Day Act did not force Canadians to go to church. It did not force Canadians to be Christians. Instead, the Lord's Day Act only said that shopping malls should be closed on Sundays, and public sporting events, with a few exceptions, should not be held on Sundays. That was in 1982. 3 years later, the Supreme Court decided that the Lord's Day Act was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court said having the Sunday as a day of rest is a Christian idea. It's based on the Bible, and so it discriminates against everybody who is not a Christian. And as a result, in the second half of the 1980s, the Canadian provinces, one by one, changed their laws. Over time, they all removed the restrictions on what people may or may not do on Sundays. That was in the 1980s. So do you know what happens when governments change laws? Then people's behaviour changes. So it happened soon after the provincial governments allowed shopping malls to open on Sundays. Soon afterwards, the number of Canadians who attended church dropped dramatically. As long as there was nothing else to do on Sundays, many Canadians went to church. But when the stores opened on Sundays, huge numbers of Canadians stopped coming to church. And of course, we understand, just coming to church does not save people. Just going through the motions does not get people to heaven. Instead, we are justified by faith alone, of course. But the Bible makes clear, and history confirms, that the Christian faith stands or falls with God's command to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. When a church or a society is faithful in keeping the Sunday holy, it is blessed. God told the Israelites in Exodus 31, "The Sabbath day is my covenant." The Sabbath day is my covenant. That means our weekly day of rest is not just one little piece of a big picture. It's not just one detail among a host of other details. Instead, when we keep the Sabbath day, we meet God. We have communication with God. We have a living relationship with God. Simple as that. So in the days of Isaiah the prophet, just before Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians, God says, everyone who keeps the Sabbath day, everyone who keeps the Sabbath day and does not profane it, I will bring to my holy mountain. God promises salvation. For who? For those who remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And how we apply this commandment exactly, on a day like today especially, how we apply this commandment is not simple, but the principle remains. God will bless those who remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That means if you are concerned about the future of the church, if you want to protect your family in this godless world, then the place to start is make your Sunday the highlight of your week. Plan your holidays, plan your life around the Sunday. On the other hand, if we just want to enjoy life, if we don't want to be restricted, if we want to be free to travel on Sundays and work on Sundays, then we are breaking God's covenant. It is as simple as that. Of course, it needs to be said, beloved congregation, not everybody can be in church every Sunday, especially when we are sick, especially when we struggle with depression or anxiety. It may be very difficult, even impossible, for us to be in church. And then we need to offer each other gentle care and encouragement rather than the sledgehammer. Because the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, is not meant to be a burden, to make our lives difficult. Instead, our weekly day of rest is meant to encourage us to look forward to the day of the Lord, when the Son of God will return on the clouds of heaven, when our eternal Sabbath rest will begin. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of the fourth commandment under the following theme: confess your dependence on God by resting from your work and praising Him on His holy day. We will see that when we obey this command, then we confess that God the Father controls our lives, that God the Son paid our price, and we confess that we depend on God the Holy Spirit to renew our hearts. Confess your dependence on God by resting from your work and by praising Him on His holy day. We will see that when we do this, then we confess first that God the Father controls our lives. Now, according to the fourth commandment, God created the world in 6 days, and then God rested on the seventh day and made it holy. And so, the commandment says, because God rested on the Sabbath day, we must rest on the Sabbath day as well. And that is consistent with a very important principle, a principle that is constant from the beginning of the Bible to the end, the principle, God is our Father, and children look like their parents. Children behave like their parents. Children imitate their parents. And therefore, since God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day, as God's children, we honor Him when we follow the same pattern in our lives. That's what the commandment says. But we just read together in John 5. Jesus heals a lame man on the Sabbath day. And then the Jews come to Jesus and they challenge Him. They ask Him, why does He not rest on the Sabbath day? And then Jesus answers, actually, my Father in heaven does not rest on the Sabbath day. God the Father does not work for 6 days and then rest on the seventh day. No, God works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When we hear that, we stop and we scratch our heads. Is this true? Is it true that God did not rest on the seventh day, but kept on working instead? If that is true, then the fourth commandment is a big fat lie. And if the fourth commandment is a big fat lie, it makes no sense for us to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Understand, brothers and sisters, the fourth commandment says, God worked 6 days and God rested on the seventh day. But Jesus says, actually, God works all the time. Confusing? Well, then we go back to John 5 and we ask, what does Jesus mean when he says that God is always working? And what does that have to do with what we do on our Sundays? To answer this question, imagine a classroom at school and imagine all the students working. One student needs a book, and so the teacher runs to the library to get that book. Another student needs some coloured paper, and so the teacher goes to the art room to get that paper. The teacher is busy. She gets whatever the students need. We would say a dedicated, hard-working teacher. But imagine another teacher. When a student asks her for a particular book, then she opens a drawer in her desk and she takes out that particular book. She gives that book to the student and she says to him, I knew that you were going to need this book, and so I brought it with me. Another student asks the teacher for pink paper with purple spots, and the teacher opens a folder and takes out pink paper with purple spots. She already knew before the class began exactly what all her students were going to need, and she brought it with her. And so she never needs to run out of the classroom. She never needs to fetch anything. Instead, she remains sitting at a desk. She is resting. And whenever a student comes to her to ask for anything, she gives to every single student exactly what they need. And in this way, beloved congregation, in this way, Genesis 2 tells us that when God finished creating the world, God rested. The point is, when God finished his work of creation, there was nothing left that still needed to be done. Instead, in those 6 days, God had prepared everything perfectly so that today and in this coming week, God does not have to get up and go back to work to correct mistakes like the weather in the Fraser Valley. Instead, God looks down from heaven today. He sees all the snow and he says, this winter is turning out exactly the way that I planned it. And so God continues to rest. And even on that very special day so many years ago, when God had only just created the world, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, then afterwards, God did not have to come down from heaven to redesign Adam and Eve or to put Plan B into effect. Instead, God looked down from heaven and God said, this is turning out exactly the way I planned it. And so God continued to rest. Even in the time of Noah, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the Israelites were in Egypt, when Jesus was arrested and nailed to the cross, when Peter was in prison, when martyrs were burned at the stake, God looked down from heaven and he said, all this is turning out exactly the way that I planned it. And so God continued to rest. Not global warming, not overpopulation, not ISIS. Nothing can surprise God. Nothing catches God unprepared. Whatever happens, God says, yes, I was expecting that. Indeed, I have prepared for precisely that. And so, I don't have to change anything. Instead, I continue to rest. And that means when Christians in Canada are disturbed by changes that are happening in our community, especially developments in our public schools. These changes do not leave God scrambling to make special arrangements. Instead, he continues to rest, like he has done ever since Genesis 2, because he prepared everything beforehand. Everything remains perfectly under control, so God rests. And for this reason, if we don't work on Sunday, if we just worship God, that is an act of faith, a confession of faith. It means God is resting because he made all things and controls all things, and nothing can frustrate his plan. So why should I get carried away by any issue that I face? Why should I worry, rain or shine, in good days or bad days, in health or sickness? Every Sunday again, we can rest. If nothing can bother our Heavenly Father, if nothing can upset his rest, why should we be concerned? Why should we not have peace and rest? He's in control. Everything remains under his control. Everything is okay. That's what it means to come to church on Sunday, to put our work aside. God is good. He will take care of everything. That's our first point. In our second point, we will now see how remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy is also a confession that the Son of God has paid our price. God the Father worked for 6 days, creating the world, and then he rested. He rested, not in the sense that he stopped governing the universe, which he created, but instead his work of creation was done. It had no mistakes in it. It did not need revision or adjustment. God could rest. And then on Christmas Day, the Son of God came into the world. And the Son of God followed the same pattern as his Father. Just like God the Father first created the world and then he rested, God the Son also had a job to do. His job was go to the cross, pay for our sins, satisfy the wrath of God. And so the Son of God would open for us the door to eternal life and bring us to the eternal Sabbath. And that is exactly what Jesus did. On Good Friday, he was nailed to the cross, and his Father poured out on him the burden of his wrath. And then after 3 hours, the Son of God cried out, "It is finished." And then his body was taken off the cross and laid in a tomb. That had to be done in a hurry, Luke tells us, because just a few hours later, the Sabbath day would begin. And burying a dead body is not something that can be done on the Sabbath day. And so it happened, Jesus was buried on the afternoon of Good Friday. And the women who buried the Lord went home before the Sabbath day began. That's what Luke tells us. So that the body of the Son of God lay in the tomb on the Sabbath day. The Son of God rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day. The whole Sabbath day, the Son of God rested from his work. Just like God the Father created the world, and afterwards God the Father saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And then God the Father rested on the Sabbath day. So God the Son paid for our sins. And then afterwards, after he said, "It is finished," on the Sabbath day, the Son of God rested from all his work of saving the world. And this means, beloved congregation, Now we have got two important reasons to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. First, we rest from our work. And so we honour God the Father who created the world and who said it is good, so that there is nothing in this world for us to worry about. We can rest because we believe that God is almighty and we trust him to lead all things for our good. And secondly, when we come to church on Sunday, we also honour God the Son, who is our Saviour. Because he died for us, and because he said it is finished, and then afterwards he entered into his Sabbath rest. Now, for us, resting on the Sabbath day is a confession that he is a complete Saviour, that he has done everything necessary for our salvation. So what do we have to do? We can rest. He's done it all. We can rest. He's done it all. There's nothing left for us to do. Rest. And so every Sunday, we worship God and we praise him for his gift of eternal life. Again, every Sunday, we honour God the Father, our Creator. We honour God the Son, our Lord, our Saviour. We rest, and so we confess by our words and by our action of resting that we trust them to provide for us and to lead us to eternal life. That is our second point. In our third point, we will now see when we rest on Sunday, we confess that we depend on God the Holy Spirit to renew our lives. Again, we saw that God the Father, after he finished his work of creation, rested on the Sabbath day. And God the Son, after he finished paying for our sins, rested on the Sabbath day. But just like God the Father never really stopped working, even while he is resting. No, he always continues to govern his creation. So, also, God the Son never stopped working either. Instead, he ascended into heaven, and there he was seated at the right hand of God, seated to prove that his saving work really is finished, but at the same time, still working. God the Father rules over all things through the Son. So both God the Father and God the Son are both resting from their work, but still very much active at the same time. And then after Easter and after Ascension Day comes Pentecost. And on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And the church became a Catholic church, spread out over the whole world, including people from all nations and countries, through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel that God the Father cares for us and watches over us. The gospel that God the Son paid for our sins. Through the preaching of this gospel, God the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. So that, if we would get caught up by everything that is happening in the world, in our own country, which is becoming more and more liberal all the time, or if we would get caught up in what is happening in our neighbours to the south, in the United States of America, which is becoming more and more divided, with the liberals seemingly more aggressive than ever before. If we would get caught up on what is happening in Europe, where there are deeper divisions than ever before as well. If we would get caught up on what is happening globally, the possibility of terrorism always in the background. If we would get caught up by all of that, there would be much to be worried about. And if we would look closer to home, there is not one family in our community that is not affected painfully by drug or alcohol abuse, or by mental illness, depression or anxiety, or by unbelief, or by terminal illness, or by marriage problems, by anguish of every kind. Brothers and sisters, there is so much pain in our lives. And even if the pain is not ours personally, when we have friends who have to face such issues, it can still suck all the joy out of our lives. But then on Sunday, our Heavenly Father calls us. He invites us to come to his house to worship him. And then we hear the gospel that God the Father is resting because he has got everything under his control. And God the Son is resting. He has paid for our sins. When we hear that gospel, then God the Holy Spirit, he works in our hearts and he gives us confidence. Confidence that everything will be okay because we belong to him. We belong to him through baptism. He has put his mark of ownership on our heads. And so he cares for us. He disciplines us. He causes us to grow. And so he leads us by the hand to that day when he will return on the clouds of heaven. Then we will enter with him into the eternal Sabbath. And so in the New Testament, our weekly Sabbath day is a celebration. It's a twofold celebration, looking back over everything that God the Father and God the Son have done for us. Sabbath rest looks back and celebrates what God has done. But Sabbath rest is also a day of looking forward in hope to that eternal Sabbath rest. Our Sunday worship and our Sunday rest is a foretaste of heavenly joy and peace, which we will receive completely on the other side of the grave. John tells us in Revelation 21 that a day is coming when a voice will come down from heaven, and we will hear a voice that will say, "It is done. It is done." And then we remember Genesis 2. God the Father finished his work of creation, and then he rested. We remember John 19. Jesus on the cross cried out, "It is finished." And then he also rested. So in the future, the day will come when God the Holy Spirit will be done with his work of gathering his church. And he will say, "It is done." All preaching will be done. All mission work and evangelism will be done. All family devotions and personal devotions will be done. The work of God the Holy Spirit, creating faith in our hearts, will be done. On that day, the Son of God will come down from heaven, and he will wipe away every tear from our eye, because death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for all those former things will have passed away. Then God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit will rest in all eternity, and we will rest with them in all eternity. And so, beloved congregation, today is another Sunday, another day to remember the work of God the Father in creating the world, to remember the work of God the Son in saving us from our sins. This past week, no doubt, there were many things happening in our personal lives, in our families, in our congregation, in our community. During the past week, we have laughed and cried, been joyful, been angry. During the past week, some of us have been confronted more intensely than usual by the reality of death. That makes this Sunday special. On some Sundays we hear sermons that make us joyful. On other Sundays we hear sermons that are more forgettable. But this afternoon, instead of focusing on what makes one Sunday more special than other Sundays, today we see that the Sunday itself, the fact that we have a weekly day of rest, that is a tool, it is an instrument that God uses to turn our minds away from all the challenges of this life. God uses our weekly day of rest to focus our hearts on His promise of a future of rest and peace and joy. So let us refocus our hearts on the challenge to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy every week again. The Sunday is a blessing for us if we receive it and use it in faith. Then He will bless us. Amen.